We all heard about it. We all saw some highlights. Amber Heard and Johnny Depp is the verdict is now out, and people are talking about it. One of those people is CNN. Et j'aimerais en parler un peu parce que je trouve ça quand même assez impressionnant. That, I didn't follow the whole thing. I saw some highlights. And yeah, I think it's worth listening to because it is somewhat appalling that we discredit. Anyways, I'll let you listen to it for yourselves. And then, yeah, this is a small special. It's big news. So let's talk about it a bit.
What's your reaction to this verdict?
I think the jury got it wrong, Jake. I'm very disappointed in the jury verdict. I think this is another big win for powerful men, and it's a colossal loss for women.
Juste là, là. Juste là. Just a phrasing. Shocking verdict in Johnny Depp and Amber Heard trial. How is it shocking after the sheer amount of evidence that we've been presented? What's shocking about it? Anyways, let's keep listening.
When you think about the allegations that were made in the UK case that involved defamation against a tabloid, the judge in that case found the allegations of Amber Heard to be credible, found that Johnny Depp did abuse Amber Heard. This jury, on the other hand, basically rejected the mountain of evidence that showed that Amber Heard, in fact, had been abused by Johnny Depp. The jury didn't have to find that each and every allegation was true. They could have found even one of them to be true. So you have to believe this jury believed that Amber Heard made up out of whole cloth each and every one of these allegations with.
Funny because the UK case was presented during the case, and Johnny Depp had an alibi while she was apparently assaulted by Johnny Depp, which he wasn't in the country at that time. So, yeah.
Details with facts to create this, what they're calling a hoax. And I just find that pretty incredible. So I'm really shocked and surprised by the jury verdict.
Renato, what do you think?
I have to say my biggest concern, Jake, is about the impact that this is going to have more broadly. Usually in a defamation case, both sides lose because their dirty laundry gets aired out because they incur legal fees. Obviously, Johnny Depp can afford to spend a lot of money and have a case across the country and wasn't afraid to take this to trial. But I am concerned about defamation suits like this used in a lot of circumstances when women allege abuse. It's generally not the right strategy, and my concern is about the impact it's going to have on our society.
He is a beautiful speaker, but if you listen to what he actually says, sequence like the sequence of what he says doesn't make any sense. Like he goes from one subject to another that are unrelated to try to make a point that seems to be appropriate. Critical thinking in this type of scenario is very important because we need to look at what they're trying to say. What's the message they're going here? He's not really saying anything. I understand the part where they're talking about the risk that it could have, but I also see this as a victory for men who have been falsely accused. Because even though not all cases do happen in this manner, there are some, and that does destroy lives. Just an allegation against you, regardless of it being true or not, has a direct impact on your life. So, he talks about how their dirty laundry gets pulled out and Johnny Depp has a lot of money. What does that have to do with anything? It doesn't have to do with anything. It's just using words to create the effect that Johnny Depp is a powerful rich man. And because he's a powerful rich man, he can afford and he can go into trial without any repercussions. But he just also said that, this is my interpretation of it at least, that both their dirty laundries gets revealed. So it doesn't really make sense.
This case was largely centered around a 2018 op-ed Amber Heard wrote at thewashingtonpost.com. The jury asked about that and how it pertained to a claim in Depp's suit. They wanted to know if they should focus on the headline or the entire piece, and the judge said just the headline. How might that question factor into this, Areva?
I think it may have factored into it, and it may have caused this jury to ignore the other allegations of physical abuse that Amber Heard testified to. And what we know, Jake, statistically, is that less than 10% of women lie about being sexually abused. We also know.
I find that very derogative and insulting to use stats in a general manner in a very situational case. That we have lots of evidence and support, regardless of the statistic. I'm not discrediting the statistic. I'm saying that in this specific case, we have the information. Amber Heard literally said something that has been put online for everyone to hear, which was Johnny Depp, who's going to believe you? You're a white man. Like, literally. She taunted him from the fact that she was assaulting him and harassing him and abusing him. And now they have the audacity to say this. That's what's shocking.
We know that 1 in 3 women will experience some kind of domestic violence in their lifetime. So when you think about those statistics and you think about the testimony that Amber Heard gave, again, the fact that not one of those allegations was believed by this jury is troubling to me. And like Renato said, I am concerned about the larger impact. This is the most high profile trial that we've had in the Me Too era. We had cameras inside that courtroom. It became somewhat of a spectacle with the social media, really vilifying of Amber Heard. And I believe it sets women back and will have a chilling effect on women feeling as if they can come forward and bring a claim against or even make allegations of physical violence and sexual abuse against powerful men. Because I remember that era when women did so. They weren't believed. They were maligned. Many lost their jobs and their careers. And I worry that
this is very legitimate. This is very legitimate, but that being said, we are in a different era, and these are different times. So, the Me Too movement has had a huge impact on women empowerment and women being supported, and has had the adverse effect against men speaking out against women in situation where there is household abuse. So, since we already have that fact against men, it's legitimate to think that it could have an impact against women. It's very legitimate.
This could be the outcome of this trial.
And Renato, in last week's closing arguments, Amber Heard's attorney, Ben Rottenborn, told jurors that if Depp failed to prove that he never abused Heard, then she wins the case. He said, quote, "A ruling against Amber here sends the message that no matter what you do as an abuse victim, you always have to do more." Do you think that's what played out here?
Well, I will say this is the burden that Depp had was pretty substantial here. He had to prove by clear and convincing evidence that Heard had actual malice. In other words, that she essentially recklessly disregarded the truth here. Not that she was mistaken or that she maybe exaggerated a little bit, but that she was substantially trying to lie and defame him, and he did so. And obviously, his team proved that. I know there's different opinions about why that is and whether or not, for example, gender bias factored into that. What I will say is it, you know, usually in a defamation case, it is very difficult to meet that standard when the person is a public figure.
So Johnny Depp has just released a statement reacting to that verdict that we just watched that found both he and Amber Heard were liable for defamation. He writes in part, quote, 6 years ago, my life, the life of my children, the lives of those closest to me, and also the lives of the many people who have for many, many years supported and believed in me were all forever changed in the blink of an eye.
False, very serious, and criminal allegations were levied at me via the media, which triggered an endless barrage of hateful content, although no charges were ever brought against me. It had already traveled around the world twice within a nanosecond, and it had a seismic impact on my life and my career, and 6 years later, the jury gave me my life back. I am truly humbled.
Chloe, you're just getting in a new statement?
Yes, so I have a statement from Amber Heard's team. It just came in a moment ago. I'll read you just a part of it because it's really long. It says, the disappointment I feel today is beyond words. I'm heartbroken that the mountain of evidence still was not enough to stand up to the disproportionate power, influence, and sway of my ex-husband. She goes on to say, I'm even more disappointed with what this verdict means for other women. It's a setback. It sets back the clock to a time when a woman who spoke up and spoke out could be publicly shamed and humiliated. It sets back the idea that violence against women is to be taken seriously. And she goes on to say that I believe Johnny's attorney succeeded in getting the jury to overlook the key issue of freedom of speech and ignore evidence that was so conclusive that we won in the UK. And she goes on to talk about being sad that she lost this case.
Joey, I don't know Amber Heard's financial situation, but an eight-figure award for Johnny Depp, the likelihood that's going to be paid.
Yeah, well, even before we get to that issue, yeah. Really, Victor, you get to the issue of appeal, right? Yeah. Because you can throw out a number of figures, as this jury did, but that will go through a whole bunch of machinations of appeals and even during the appeals, settlements, right? And when you look at that, the figure, right, it's a high figure, $10 million, it goes to whether or not she'll have the ability to pay. But in the event that she doesn't, there's all kind of attachments and things that you could ultimately do. One other issue, just very quickly, I want to go back to Lonnie's point, which with respect to the inconsistency of the verdict.
Yeah.
On the one hand, the second statement, which the jury apparently credited, right, as it relates to Amber Heard saying Johnny Depp defamed me, said that this was a hoax. So how do you, on the one hand, as a jury, credit a statement saying that, you know, they lied, that is Johnny Depp and his team, when they call this a hoax? But on the other hand, you credit the fact that he defamed her, meaning Amber Heard defamed Johnny Depp.
Okay, this is just hearsay. I'm not a, like, this guy's is, it's his interpretation of what they decided in a national news, making people believe that that's exactly how it went down. This is not how you should behave, I think, as a reporter, unless you have an agenda.
It seems somewhat inconsistent. I raise that because that will go for sure on the issue of appeal.
I can differentiate it. The second statement, which they found that Amber Heard was defamed by what was put in the Daily Mail, it's very specific. It is talking about May 21st, 2016. Johnny Depp went over to her house. There was an argument. He leaves. The police come. And there was testimony by every police officer. They didn't see bruising on Amber Heard at all. But this statement goes on to say that it's an abuse and hoax, but goes on to say that Amber Heard and her best friend trashed up the whole apartment, spilled some wine, did all this, called the police back. There was no testimony that they trashed that apartment at all. Zero in the trial. So that is false. And I think the jury may have found that to be a defamatory statement because there's no basis in fact.
So that is called logic. So the special must go on. After hearing that from, you know, it's okay to have opinions, and I think if you're gonna be a news anchor, you want people to be able to express themselves, and you want, you know, different realities. And I think you have to be very careful about how you, like, if this, the last woman that spoke didn't clear it up, it would make a lot of people think that whatever he said was true. And he is not well versed in the subject, yet he it has the credibility, apparently, to be able to comment on this as the other news anchor that probably has a more researched background or appropriate background to really talk about it is talking about it in a very professional and neutral manner. I think there's a lot of things in the news these days. I constantly we are seeing these issues and we're being bombarded with information that you don't necessarily want, or you're not necessarily given the truth about this information. If you look at the different titles, depending on what news article, what group you're listening to, it's going to be very diverse. CNN apparently very pro-women regardless of facts, which, you know, it's their prerogative, it belongs to them. That being said, being a very big news, I get and like that they want to be very supportive of women and minorities and, you know, being very open about all of that stuff. But I think it's important to be transparent also and be authentic and honest, and not try to pin the blame on things that are not the issue. It's just, these people are renowned and they're professionals. I get that they're still human, but like, to put it the way they've put it to that extent, you know, I like how the second man, Renator Mariotti, like, you saw and heard him correct himself and slow his pace at a certain point, body language wise, because he didn't want to offend the news channel that wanted, this is my subjective opinion, but it seems like the news channel was wanting some very juicy information about how this is a shocking verdict. And regardless of what the facts were shown, right? So if we listen to him again, we'll go here.
Malice. In other words, that she essentially recklessly disregarded the truth here. Not that she was mistaken or that she maybe exaggerated a little bit, but that she was, he had a
have to do more. Do you think that's what played out here?
All right. So let's analyze this.
Well, I will say this is the burden that Depp had was pretty substantial here.
So does not acknowledge right away the question that was asked of him. He's answering a politically correct answer.
He had to prove by clear and convincing evidence that Heard had actual malice. In other words, that she essentially recklessly disregarded the truth here. Not that she was mistaken or that she maybe exaggerated a little bit, but that she was substantially trying to lie and defame him, and he did so. And he obviously, his team, you know, his team proved that. I know there's different opinions about why that is and whether.
See, that is a way of putting it without giving his own opinion, answering the question, being neutral about it, but being very rational about it also. But what they wanted was something else. That being said, let's keep listening.
You know, whether or not, for example, gender bias factored into that. What I will say is, you know, usually in a defamation case, it is very difficult to meet that standard when the person is a public figure.
So Johnny Depp is.
Interesting, right? Goes entirely almost against what the first woman was talking about. And he mentioned something interesting, which is gender bias. With the Me Too movement, we're seeing a lot of that. In our society today, we're seeing a lot of that gender bias. Or not only gender bias, but ethnical bias also. What do I mean by that? I mean that, oh, you can't talk about this because you're a white man. You don't know anything about this. You're not allowed to speak. I've seen lots of videos where men are either asking questions or giving an opinion, saying that they understand that it's only their opinion and they might be wrong, and they still get lashed out at. And they're not saying anything horrendous or atrocious. So I think we are moving towards this environment, social environment, where we'll be able a bit more as people, men and women, to be respected, and I think to be heard properly and taken seriously. I think that's really what we want as people, regardless of gender. We want to be taken seriously. But there are people who have ill intent. There just are. And there's nothing we can do about that. So when there is somebody that is accused, men or women, we should be looking at facts, not disregarding the fact that, oh, you're a man, why are you bothered by this? That's sexist. I'm a person, and I'm being put in an uncomfortable situation, yes, because of her sexes, but I'm being put in an uncomfortable situation in which I'm calling out, and I need help. And in a case like the example I just gave, which has happened to me, I was not taken seriously. That's not fun. It's humiliating. It's a gender bias. And that's not okay. I think comedy has also been under the radar of this type of thing, where it's comedy. The intent is a good one. It's to, you know, there's a saying that if the king kills his jester, he's a tyrant. It's a good sign that he's a tyrant. Because if you can't make fun of things that are a problem to make them more accessible to talk about them, that becomes a problem. That becomes a serious problem. Because it says that we can't talk about it. We can't have those hard conversations. We can't laugh about it. We can't seriously talk about it. And I think that's it's a good step towards that direction, laughter. You know, if you look at people like Ricky Gervais, who is very blunt, aggressive, a very brilliant mind, very respectful of... I think if I were to give him an alignment in Dungeons & Dragons, he's chaotic good. He has very strong ideas and a very strong point that he can easily debate. But in his comedy, to me, he's brilliant. I mean, even if he does curse, it's the way it's presented and what he's saying is usually so true, and it's making fun of something that has been a pain in some people's side. So to be able to joke about those things and talk about them is a good thing, because we can acknowledge those things now and we can kind of like talk about them. So yeah, there's that. The other artist that is also under fire was Dave Chappelle, that was attacked. And I get that there's controversy, and I really love that he is pushing through with not being intimidated by people wanting to take justice in their own hands. I really respect that. And I think it's legitimate to want justice. I think it's legitimate to be angry or be mad when you don't like something. But to do it the way that it's being done right now is just wrong. We're going, like, yes, consumers have a very powerful, have power, but I think we should, as people, also be careful what, because these types of things can happen to you regardless of if you know it or not. Like, to go back, people who are being attacked about things that they've mentioned and said years before, where they could have had ignorance at that time, they could have been brash, they could have been different people, and said, you said that, you're canceled. That's just, why are people doing that in the first place? What is motivating them to want to cancel people? That's another good question to ask. Like, is it a perverse, like, satisfaction of being weak, but yet being able to topple a powerful figure or image that you find that is going against your values and yourself as a person? Like, to what extent do you feel the need that doing that is good? I don't know that it's a good thing, because, like, it could happen the other way around, and I'm pretty sure they wouldn't like that. Nobody's a saint, nor should we pretend that people are saints. Everybody has done shit they're not proud of in their lives. Some are worse than others. But it's not the end of the world. We can still get along. We can still have a good tomorrow. We can have a better day after. And why shouldn't we just keep working on ourselves and working on our relationships to make sure that we can love each other, we can respect each other, we can grow, and we can have kids that will be able to live their lives in a healthy and sane world, which is not the case at the moment. So that is what I wanted to talk about during today's special, per se. And that's that. So have a good day. Thanks for listening. See you soon. All right. See you next week.